Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Mr. Talk. So what's happening out there? How y'all doing today? Man, do we have an outstanding show planned for yesterday. You just got a taste of it yesterday. I can only imagine what's going to go down today. But hey, shotguns are loaded and ready, so let's make it do what it do. You know, today's topic of the show is sex, lies, in the pulpit. Interesting, huh? Yeah, you know how that goes. You know, you got recent scandals going on involving, you know, some high profile ministers and televangelists and all that good stuff. So we're going to take a closer look at some of those things and see if these ministers are for real or they're playing con artists and taking advantage of people. And then, of course, you know, the crew going to be here, and we're going to finish talking about what we was talking about yesterday. Oh, yeah. Well, we'd be rocking and rolling today. So I hope y'all ready. So go on and get that cup of Joe, that old midday cocktail, or whatever you going to be sipping on. Sit back, relax. Hey, because it's going to be a hot one today. Now, if you want to join the conversation, that's no problem either. Just give me a call at 347-838-8622. And also, if you want to send me any kind of suggestions or messages, just send it to ericletstalk@gmail.com, or go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. All right. Now, man, yesterday we left off in a heck of a spot, didn't we? Oh, Lord have mercy. It was getting so hot up in here. Yeah. But you know what? That's good. That's a good thing. Because I'm sure a lot of people went home and studied last night. Oh, just so they'd be on point today. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's not about who's right or who's wrong. You know, it's more about being able to go back and check it, study it, study the word. And in the process of you studying the word, you becoming stronger in the word, in Christ himself. That's all it's about. You know, because we have our different views, which makes us us. Makes us people. It really does. But that's all right, too. We learn from each other. Because nobody has all the knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? So if we continue to have conversations like we had yesterday and what we probably will have today, man, can you imagine the knowledge that'll be passed around? How more knowledgeable people would be about religion and what they truly say they don't believe, when actually they may believe it. They just don't know. It has never been explained to them in a certain way. And that's all we're asking for, a chance to get it out there. Because, hey, I'm not going to lie. After yesterday's show, I'm going to lie to you. The first thing I did when I got off the air is went and grabbed some Bibles. That's right. Because that's right. I wanted to listen. I wanted to make sure I was on point today. And in the process of doing that, I learned some more things. So that's what it's all about, y'all. That's what it's all about. Now, of course, I understand there's some people out there that's not going to, they're not going to want to hear what we have to say. But that's okay. That's okay. That's all right, too. They may not want to hear it, but sometimes, whether you want to hear it or not, it's meant for you. Yeah, you can stand back there and fight it all you want to, but it'll make it to the destination it needs to be. All right, all right, all right. That's enough of that. I know, y'all. I'm trying to start already, aren't I? Okay. Anyway, of course, you know, as I said before, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk, and today's topic is sex, lies, in the pulpit. So, of course, but before we do all that, we got to go to the house rules. So make sure the house rules are noted for everybody. Okay. Number one, we encourage open dialogue on the show. We love to hear everybody's opinion. There's no doubt about that. If you've been on the show long enough, you know anybody can speak. I have no problem with that. However, what I do have a problem with is disrespecting somebody else's mic time. Now, if we have respected your mic time, respect the other people's mic time when they're on the mic. That's the only way we can actually get our points across to be actually heard and understood. Now, once they're finished, then yes, we can respond to that accordingly. But if everybody's talking over each other, nobody's hearing anything, so there's no way you can respond to anything. Okay? So please respect everybody else's time on the mic. Make your comments short and sweet. I do understand there are times when, you know, you can't do a comment and just make it plain, short, and sweet. However, you can't limit it to the time you are the time you are giving your dissertation. Understand what I'm saying? In other words, keep it short. All right? We don't need no 30-minute dissertations. We understand some of y'all are long-winded, so we'll work with that. But, you know, too much long-winded, we're going to have to poke some holes in your cells to slow you down. All right? Okay. All right. Let's see. And the biggest one that's really, really my big thing, no personal attacks. Do not attack anybody on this show because you don't know them. They don't know you. Only a few of us on this show know each other personally outside of the show. So that does not give anyone the right, however, to personally attack someone. We're not doing that here. This is not what this show is about. We are adults, and we ask that you conduct yourselves accordingly as adults. Plus, if you could resort to personal attacks, man, the only thing you're doing really is showing how ignorant you are. You know what I mean? That means you're not able to conversate on whatever topic we're talking about. So instead of being quiet and maybe learning something, you want to go and attack someone because you don't agree with what they said or you don't know anything about what they said. That doesn't work here. All right? That doesn't work at all. We're not buying it and we're not having it. Okay? So if that's what you're about, you may want to go to another school and another store, and maybe they'll be buying it there. We're not buying it nor selling it. Okay, and by chance anybody has to violate any of these house rules, you will hear this sound, which means you'll be going on the sideline for a few. All right, however, after that, and you continue to act, you know, ignorant, as we're going to say, this is what you're going to hear.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Press any key to return to the main menu.
You know what that sound means right there? That means you gone. You're not only kicked on the sideline, you kicked off the show for the day. So hopefully we won't have to use that one. All right? Okay. Now we have it all out of our way. Let me give the shout outs 408, Mr. Goofy, 504, Mr. Lowe. And of course we got 817. Hey boo. Hey. We got Miss DP in the house. Miss DP in the house. All right. In the chat room, who we got in the chat room so far? We got guest 1538 and guest 1547. Welcome to the show. And everybody else out there listening on whatever device you're listening on, welcome to the show. I hope you enjoy it because we're going to bring it to you today. All right. Now, as you know, the custom of the day, after we do all the house rules and things like that, let's get to the song of the day and the quote of the day. Now, the quote of the day, this is a deep quote, and I really do believe a lot of us need to really pay attention to this. And here it is. Forgiveness is not condoning, nor is it even repairing what has been broken, though often that is possible. Forgiveness is not really about the other person. Forgiveness is deciding that you need to make peace with a personal situation. You forgive so you can get on with your life. Isn't that deep, y'all? Huh? And that's pretty deep. Now it said by the Reverend R. Scott Oldglazer. That is a deep, man. That's a deep saying right there. I think that's what some people forget. You know, forgiving is not for the other person. It's actually for you. Because you don't need to forgive and get that off your heart so you can move on with your life. That's all I'm saying. All right. And now it's time for the song of the day. So I hope y'all ready. Here it is, the song of the day.
We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. Oh, yeah. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down, but we couldn't stay there and got up. Say now,
we fall down,
over my,
but we get up.
Get back
we
up.
Fall down,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we get up,
back up. We get back up again.
For a thing is just
a thing. Oh, yes, we go. But we can't stay there. There's a seed of righteousness inside of us. Oh,
we
fall down.
Say
now. But we get back up again.
We fall down
sometimes. But we get back up again. Yes, we do
that.
Rise back up again.
For a
you can get back up again.
Get back up again.
You're waiting on me.
Get back up.
Up in here then. Woo, my goodness. Boy, I tell you, We Fall Down by Donnie McClurkin. All right. Woo-hoo. That's another powerful message right there. Huh? We all fall down. We all fall down. But you can get back up again. Oh, my goodness. Man, what y'all going to do with that? I know y'all not ready for something like that. Y'all not ready yet. Y'all not ready yet. But those some powerful words right there the brother was singing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Anyway, all right. Can't y'all tell I'm a light today? I'm ready to rock and roll. I hope y'all ready, too. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That was, oh, my goodness, what a song. What a song. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyway. Ooh, let me calm down. Let me calm down. All right. Let me go ahead and bring Mr. Goofy on the line and see what Mr. Goofy has to say this wonderful afternoon. Well, it's still morning his time. Well, it's just afternoon. But let's see. Mr. Goofy, you in the house. Happy Tuesday, you man. What's happening? What's going on? How you feeling?
Oh, hey, how you doing? It's afternoon over here, so.
Yeah, it's afternoon, too. Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jackson. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, man. I am hyped in the Lord. I'm ready to rock and roll today. What about you?
I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready to go. Let's get the show on the road.
Let's get the show on the road. All right, all right. You changed your show time too, didn't you?
Last night I started a half hour later.
Well, that was a long time, man. I was like, oh, my goodness, I couldn't stay awake that long. And I was trying to get there with you, but I'm like, oh, man, I can't make it. I'll try probably Wednesday night. I think that's when you have conversations.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have something in there because we'll have something nice and ready for you.
Oh, all right, that'll work. All right, let me bring Brother Vernon in. I see y'all coming in now. Hold on, let me get it right. Vernon, my man, what's going on? How you doing? What's happening? What you feeling like today?
What's going on, man? Happy Tuesday. I guess it's just men on here. That's all I've heard so far.
Yeah, that's it so far. That's it so far. But you know, everybody's coming. Everybody's coming. You know, because we left it off yesterday. Hey, man, I tell you. But anyway.
Who we got here, Joe and Goofy? Just Goofy.
No, just Goofy. You know, okay, I doubt if we see Joe today.
Not on the list. Not on the religion, man. he went to sleeping with the snowing yesterday, brother.
Yeah, he did. But here's the first story I want to talk about. There's a guy named E.W. Jackson. Isn't that amazing? He has my dang on initials. And he's a conservative minister nominated to run for lieutenant governor by the Virginia Republican Party. And basically he says the Democratic Party has created an unholy alliance between certain so-called civil rights leaders and Planned Parenthood, which has killed unborn black babies by the tens of millions. Planned Parenthood has been far more lethal to black lives than the KKK ever was. And the Democratic Party and the black civil rights allies are partners in this genocide. Okay, so now that's what this man said. But there was a lot more. There's a lot more, and I got a clip here that I want to play so y'all can hear exactly what he was saying. And, you know, it's like, wow, man, really? Really? Hold on. Here it is. It's about 4 minutes long.
My name is Bishop E.W. Jackson, Chairman of Ministers Taking a Stand, with a message to Christians in the black community. It is time to end the slavish devotion to the Democrat Party. They have insulted us, used us, and manipulated us. They have saturated the black community with ridiculous lies. Unless we support the Democrat Party, we will be returned to slavery. We will be robbed of voting rights. The Martin Luther King holiday will be repealed. They think we are stupid and that these lies will hold us captive while they violate everything we believe as Christians. The Democrat Party has created an unholy alliance between certain so-called civil rights leaders and Planned Parenthood, which has killed unborn black babies by the tens of millions. Planned Parenthood has been far more lethal to black lives than the KKK ever was. And the Democrat Party and their black civil rights allies are partners in this genocide. The Democrat Party has equated homosexuality with being black, which is another outrageous lie. They can keep their homosexuality private. You and I cannot hide being black. I need not recount to you the painful history of slavery, Jim Crow, lynchings, and sterilizations, all because of skin color. Anyone who dares equate the so-called gay rights movement to the history of black Americans is exploiting the black community. They say opposition to same-sex marriage is the same as opposition to interracial marriage. That is an insult to human intelligence. It is a lie. No Christian should support this. Yet the Democrat Party has now declared same-sex marriage an official part of its platform. And black Christians remain in that party? The civil rights establishment has embraced the lies and betrayed the black community and God Almighty for 30 pieces of silver from the Democrat Party. We as Christians ought to know better. Shame on us for allowing ourselves to be sold to the highest bidder. We belong to God. Our ancestors were sold against their will centuries ago, but we're going to the slave market voluntarily today. Yes, it's just that ugly. What do you call it when Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins and paid the price for our freedom, and you join in covenant with a political party that doesn't even want God mentioned in their platform and gets offended at the very mention of Jesus' name? If your pastor tells you to vote for a party that disrespects Jesus, you need to leave that church. Black pastors are also going to have to answer for whether they serve Jesus or the Democrat Party. The black community will never prosper by betraying God and following leadership that curries the favor of the Democrat Party. It is time for Christians to have the faith and courage to refuse to associate with a political party that has over the years become anti-Christian, anti-church, anti-Bible, anti-life, anti-family, and anti-God. The Democrat Party is also becoming increasingly anti-Israel, and God said, I will curse those that curse Israel. Do you want to be cursed with them? It is time to come out of the Democrat Party and to refuse to support its candidates in their rebellion against God. It's not about party, but principle. It's not about race, but righteousness. And you will stand before God to give an account for your choices and motives. We don't need the Democrat Party or any party. We need God. God will take care of us. It's been a long time coming, but the time has come to take a stand. Come out from among them. Exodus now.
All right. Once again, that was the Bishop E.W. Jackson taking a stand. So what do y'all think about that? Was the brother...
Where is he from?
Virginia.
He's from Virginia?
Yeah, Virginia.
And his name is E.W. Jackson?
Yep. That's it. Hold on. Let me bring Mr. Lowe in.
I think the guy got some good stuff.
You think he got some good stuff?
I think the guy's got brainwashing material.
No. It's not brainwashing material. I mean, but if you saying that you serve God and you supporting these politicians that support everything that go along with everything against God, how can you truly say that you're serving God?
That is
well, if
point,
you serve
Vernon.
God and support gays, you're not serving God.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. But if you're gonna say that you are a group that follow Christ and you're serving God, trying to live according to the will of God, but you supporting these politicians that support gay and just like you said, support gay and a lot of this other stuff that's going on. Within the government and stuff, and these people, you're behind these people 100%. How can you truly say that you are working for God? That don't make no sense.
Well, those people who support God and vote for these politicians, they're putting that person before their God. So shame on them. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
If you're about God, you should only be about God and what regular business you have to do. You shouldn't be dabbling into politics and all that stuff, because in the end, your vote really doesn't count, even though they say it does. But who knows? All those polls and all that stuff, it seems to be rigged all of a sudden. Because, I mean, it's crazy how, like, back in the days when Bush won or lost Florida and then, you know, they had to recount and all this. I mean, come on. They've never, out of all the history that they've been counting, they have never, ever messed up. But all of a sudden, they just suddenly messed up. So right there, that's from when I seen that, that's when I knew, man, the voting system is rigged. No need to even try.
All right. Well, let's say hello to Brother Bo.
Oh, what's going on, Carl?
Shalom, brothers. How y'all doing?
Shalom.
No, we doing wonderful. How you doing?
Great. I'm great, 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 man.
All right.
Go ahead, Bernie. He was about to say something.
I don't even remember what it was, man.
You about to say something to Goof.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. I'll think of it in a minute.
Old age kicking in.
my take on that whole thing was it was just that good old-fashioned bullshit preacher / talking, and I'm going to tell you why. He only attacked one party. Both parties have been complicit in everything that has happened. I don't care how you try to boil all the fat out of it and just get the lean. Both parties have been complicit with everything that's happened, because if I say something and you say, well, no, we're not going to do that, you will compromise with me just so you can get something that you want done, whether it's going to help the people or not. So this always happens. You always get the quid pro quos up there in Washington. So, like I said, he never said anything against the other parties. You know,
he did say he didn't think we should support if they're not lining up. You know, basically saying that if the politician wasn't lining up with God, that we shouldn't support the Democratic Party or any other party for that matter.
I understand that, but my point is this: you have two main parties. He only mentioned one. Now, who's to say that he wasn't talking about the libertarians? Who's to say that he wasn't talking about this little small party of people that want to run on just getting written in? Who's to say he wasn't talking about those people? I mean, you know, he said Democrat like 50 times, but I never heard him say Republican.
Well, I mean, you're going to the black communities, and who they – okay, go ahead, Eric.
We got both.
He is – he is running for lieutenant governor, right? And he is a Republican. So, of course, and that's why I asked that question. So, of course, he's going to attack the Democratic side, but, you know, he's attacking the churches also and the black community by saying, you know, basically we've been befooled. No, we've been fooled like crazy. Bamboozled, that's it. Yeah, we've been bamboozled. You know, we don't have enough sense to know what's happening to us as far as when we voting and when our ministers get up there and say, well, you know, even though they're not supposed to, you say, well, you know, I'll recommend this politician or whatever. So I think that's where all his irony is going, the Democratic Party and the black community.
Yeah, but a person should be smart enough to if you're a minister or somebody, reverend or whoever, is leaning to a side of a politician, right there you know that's corruption. Seriously, back in the days, you never seen the church hanging out with, you know, George Washington or any stuff like that.
That's not true. That's
totally wrong.
Uh-oh.
That's not true. And the reason why it's not true is because they tried to run under the guise that this was a just and Christian nation, remember? Right or wrong?
Right.
Absolutely right. And so you did have, at any functions you had or whatever you want to call them, even when George Washington was sending his captains out to fight and he was staying back sleeping with their wives, even when he was doing this, you did have your ministers at these places. Because remember, your ministers were held in high standard back then because you only had maybe one or two in the whole area, you know. And so this man was held in a high standard and a high regard. So that is not true. You've always had these ministers that dabbled with these politicians. And that's a good word that you used a few minutes ago, Goofy, because that's all it is dabbling. You're playing with somebody that you really don't have any business fooling with, because politics are no good anyway. They're just lies. And if you call yourself a man of the word and you're going into this bed of lies, you go in a pig pen, you're going to get muddy.
Well, I take back everything I said in that guy's defense, because I didn't hear anybody say that he was a Republican at first.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think all of them, that kind of explained why he was attacking the Democrats before.
Right.
I was thinking that he was just kind of an independent, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, cause he ain't right up and down, he's straight up and down the middle.
Okay, I got it now. So I take back everything I said in his defense.
Well, you know what? I respect
all right.
you. I respect you for that. I do.
Yeah.
Because it's a big man to do that.
But see, we need to start laying everything on the line before let somebody start giving any comments on that bullshit.
No. Now listen,
I read that
same thing you did. I listened to the exact same thing. And what I did not hear, I never heard the word Republican come out of his mouth. You got two big parties.
No.
He never said Republican.
Okay, but I mean,
I kind of
thought my take on it was that this guy was saying this because when you got these big elections going on, what in the black community? Well, I'm assuming the guy is black. He sounds like a black guy anyway.
Yeah, he's black.
But in the black community, what are they pushing? Democrat.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That's the reason I thought he was targeting Democrats so hard at first. But after finding out that he was a Republican, you know, that let me know. I understand Eric didn't want his name to go down bad, you know, but hey.
No. In the beginning, that's what I say. E.W. Jackson, the conservative minister nominated to run for lieutenant governor by the Virginia Republican Party. I know I said that.
I thought you were defending that E.W. Jackson there.
I know, right?
the one he's defending is on the phone, though, right now.
Look. I'm telling you, man. You know, there was a point where I said, I don't know if I should use this. It got my initials on it. I don't like that.
Look,
But anyway.
Don't be blinded by the name. There's only one Eric Jackson, and that's Mr. Talk.
I'm talking about right there. Thank you, Goofy. Thank you, Goofy. All right, here's the next story. Atheist books to be placed next to Bibles in Georgia parks in response to Governor Nathan Deal's decision. Now, apparently a national atheist group said Monday that it would donate its literature for use in cabins and lodges in Georgia state parks after the governor's recent decision to allow Bibles there. David Silverman, president of the Camden, whatever, based American Atheist Organization, said his group is just waiting for an answer from the state on what the best procedure is to donate several books, including one entitled Why Am I an Atheist? If the state is going to put Bibles in the cabins, they must allow alternate points of view, alternate points of view without taking sides. one guy went there, Ed Buckner was not happy last month when he discovered 9 Gideon Bibles in the cabin he had rented with his family at Amicalolo Falls State Park in North Georgia. When he complained, park managers removed the Bibles while they sought a legal decision from the Attorney General's office.
I saw that.
Man.
And I remember that.
Man. Oh, boy.
What are they, vampires? If they see a Bible, they start sizzling or something? I mean, really? Really?
No, they got a voice. They got a voice now, Goofy. They got people in the Congress and stuff that's the same thing they are. So, I mean, they got a voice now. They could be heard.
Let me tell you something. I go to Las Vegas quite some often, and I do nasty things in there, and a good old Bible is always placed in there. And of course, every time I leave, I always have to read a scripture because I feel sinful because it's Sin City, of course. But I thank God there's a Bible there, because sometimes you get lost and you just need a scripture, and boom, it gets you back to life. Now those people, well, what is the Bible going to do to hurt their significant trip? I mean, seriously, is it going to burn them? I mean, is it going to, you know, like I said, make their skin sizzle? I mean, how does this affect them? For them, it should be just a normal book. That's what to them it should be.
Like I told you yesterday. Like I said yesterday. Go ahead, man.
What? Well, I was going to say, and that's the thing. But you know what's the more disgusting part of it is? Nobody's standing up to them. You know, nobody's standing up. You know, okay, I got a problem with your Bibles. Okay, sir, just one moment. We'll go ahead and take them out for you. Why? You know, maybe you should read the Bible. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. What you're doing here.
What?
I see what you're doing here today. You didn't come in with all this stuff here. You building the fire, and then you gonna let everybody come in with their own damn bucket of gas and burn.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, you gonna let everybody come in with their own damn bucket of gas to get the flame going good. Oh yeah, you're doing a good job, Eric.
Wow.
I can see the smoke right now. You're getting it out.
You can see the smoke, huh?
I can see the smoke from here.
You put the ingredients in it, huh?
Say what, Lo?
Yeah, I say you put the ingredients in it, huh?
I'm just saying,
putting
man.
All the ingredients in it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you taking Bibles out to appease a group that does not believe. And here's the thing. They're atheists, so they don't believe in it anyway. So why you have a problem with it? You know? Don't open the drawer then.
It's like I said the other day.
Mm-hmm.
This country was not based on anything moral in the first place. And when you get a group of quote unquote founding fathers to go in the room and they was in there smoking hemp and getting drunk, and when they wrote their Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all of this crap, and they said, well, you know, you have the right to freedom of religion and all of this and that. Any and everything that people might want to do it's right there on the rug, and hey, it's there for a chance. It deserves a chance because it's what they want to do. Now, I can tell you from reading in regular everyday newspapers, people are now trying harder and harder to marry animals in this country, and it's getting closer and closer to that point. When you start opening the door, yes, when you read outside of the
okay.
normally read.
Wait a minute, like a man marries a horse or something like that?
Yes. a woman
has
petitioned the court 4 times to marry a dog, to marry her dog. Now, like I say, when you start to dabble in those things, there will be no stopping. No stopping whatsoever. You remember just a few weeks ago we talked about, I think it was, the group is called the Man-Boy Love or something. They're trying to get it to where child pornography is not considered to be a felonious crime. Possessing child pornography. Yeah. So like I say, when you open the door just a little bit, you allow other things to come in with that.
Loophole. You're right. Yep.
Loophole, yeah. And you know what? Freedom of religion, I have no problem with that. But see, they're not a religion.
That's just you.
People with an opinion.
They're not a religion. Well, in all actuality, if you say that there is no God, you are automatically of Satan. Because that is blasphemy. If you say you don't believe in a God, you got one or the other one regardless of whether you want to or not. Because you're just going to live with him when you die. You're going to burn with the other one when you die. So it doesn't matter. You have a spirit over you that you can't handle. And you have so many smart people. They're so intelligent till, you know, I heard one guy on this show say, I can't believe in anything that's not tangible that I can't touch. And I asked him, can you touch oxygen? But you know what I'm saying? You're sucking up plenty of it through those Negro nostrils. Yeah.
Look out now. Look out. All right. Well, we know what that is there. All right, let's go to the next topic real fast. here we go. Presbyterian Church of Scotland okays gay ministers. The Church of Scotland's General Assembly on Monday, May 20th, passed a historic vote to allow actively gay men and lesbians to become ordained ministers. But in a mind toward compromise, agreed to allow parishes that disagree to opt out of the new rules. They will now need to be endorsed by the church's 48 regional presbyteries. And if it survives the regional ratification, will become official at next year's General Assembly. The church's new moderator, the Reverend Lorna Hood, said this is a massive vote for the peace and unity of the church. However, in 2009, when the General Assembly voted to uphold the appointment of an openly gay minister, the Reverend Scott Rainey, to Queen's Cross Church in Aberdeen, that led to congregations and 6 ministers to leave the Church of Scotland. Go for it, Josh.
Isn't that the place where the men wear the skirts? I mean, I think shit goes anyway in that place. I mean, for real. Seriously, let's say when I used to go and confess, I haven't confessed in, you know, 12 years old or whatever. Well, anyway, say I went to confess to them, you know, like, and you know, in confession and crap. But then I'm getting advice from someone who's gay, and maybe his way is a little bit more, you know, light than the average person would tell me. I mean, I wouldn't like that. That would just give me the heebie-jeebies. It's like I'm going against God here. I mean, hello. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know, it's... Nah. Go ahead, John.
Well,
okay.
I remember just a few years ago when that happened, and I also remember when they upheld that one homosexual preacher or whatever he was. I remember that. And I also remember when the Catholics decided that they would allow, quote-unquote, homosexual, non-active homosexual to be bishops and cardinals, I think it was. Now, if you carry yourself as if you deal with a man as you would a woman, if you lay in the bed with a man as you would with a woman, you being active, you know, just because you perform sodomy, that's not just the only act, that's, you know what I'm saying? So I remember this, and like I said before, they'll ease in just a little bit just to get the door open. After that, it'll come on in.
Are you sure it was a Catholic church law?
Yes, I'm sure the Catholics.
Okay, because the Catholics, that's the strictest of the Christian religion.
Wait a minute. Is that Joe?
No.
He's not going to stay for long.
Oh, I'm not?
What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Vern.
He's not going to stay.
I see you brought your knucklehead cousin with you just for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, because I was saying, the Catholic Church is the strictest of the Christian religions, and if for them to even allow non-active, I don't think they would allow it. But from what you're saying, Lo, yeah, if they're laying down, then they're, I guess, active, but they're not supposed to do that if the Catholic Church allowed it in the first place, which I doubt.
Well, you don't have to take my word. Go back and do your own research, because they had to open. I know, good for you. Me too. They had to open this door up because you had all these gays and lesbians that was, you know, they didn't feel that they were being treated equal, and as far as the church is concerned. And one word that you used a few minutes ago, Mr. Talk, was compromise. That word goes a very, very, very long way back with the Catholics in the first place.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, yes, it does.
With the Catholics? No.
Yes,
the Catholics
yes,
are known
does.
For not compromising.
Bull. Okay. All right, well, however you want to dress it up, Joe. Whatever clothes you want to put on. I know
because, because that's the religion I studied, because I've been in with conversations with people before about that, and I even downloaded catechisms. I got a couple of catechisms.
Joe, screw all of that, what you're talking about. Let me ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the Bible says you don't hold anyone, you don't supposed to bow down, you don't supposed to call anyone father
right.
on earth.
Okay.
You're not supposed to bow down to idols. Why is it when you walk in a Catholic church, you're stumbling all over the place, all over idols?
They're not
and
idols.
The first thing, what do you mean they're not idols?
They're not idols.
That's that little thing they got with those
saints.
Candles around it.
Right, absolutely.
The little thing that they got, the candles, the little supposed to be Mary.
Yeah, Mary, they got Saint this and Saint that, and they got stained glass windows.
Idol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's an idol.
No, it isn't.
And then they walk in, and the first thing they do is bow down at the, at the altar or whatever. And
right,
that,
where Jesus is crucified, right. Mm-hmm.
That's an idol worship, Joe.
Well, they're worshiping when they bow down in the at the altar. They're worshiping the Son of God, who, according to them, is also God. There's supposed to be a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
There's no Trinity in the Bible. That's a lie.
Well, I don't know. Okay, maybe it's not
in
the Bible. I'm just saying what
they
the Catholics believe.
They put their own ingredients in there, Joe.
They probably did, because I know for one thing, when the Catholics teach, they don't use the Bible.
Absolutely.
It's almost as though they hate the Bible. They teach
Absolutely.
Through the catechism. And when you study the
Absolutely.
Catechism with what I haven't done that much with the Bible, but it's as though they do want to put a spin on it. Only thing I'm saying is that from my research, and I don't know about the Mormons or the Protestants or the Jewish that much, but having studied the catechism with the Catholic religion, I think I can speak out on that fairly well.
Okay.
And Eric isn't
now.
Here, so I'm taking over
the
show.
I'm back now.
Okay.
I'm here. Hey, let me ask Joe this. I'm glad you did join and call in today. Joe, we just had a story where an atheist went into a cabin and found the Bible and was unhappy and they had to remove them. Being that you are agnostic, Would that bother you at all?
If I found a Bible in the hotel room?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
No, because that's always been the tradition. They've always left the Gideon Bible in every, I think, in every room of every respectable hotel in America. It's been a tradition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why does atheists get all the fucking upset? It's nothing to do with the government.
Well, apparently they thinking it is.
Well, he's an asshole. Oh, she's an asshole.
You're on my live?
Yeah, you on live. Who you think you're on?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Blog Talk Radio hung up on me.
Oh,
he did?
Wow. It happens.
It does?
It happens.
Now, this is a fucked up website, I tell you.
Oh, Lord.
You can't, you know, you go to your show, and what happens? You try to listen, and then it automatically cuts itself off. And if you don't know how to click on that little button that's underneath the player, then you're lost. So then you go to another show instead of that show. And these shows are fucked up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think it's Catholic.
Okay. Imagine that.
All right. I'm not kidding you. Anyway, y'all ready for this? Okay, we done set the fire a little bit now, so we might as well go on and get on with the get on. Quit playing. Are you ready, Lo? Uh-oh. You ready, Vernon? You ready, Goofy? You ready, Joe? Here we go.
I'm ready.
Okay. Now, here we go. Now, yesterday, Vernon, you did ask me a question, and... it got dark in here. Hold on. This looks like we're going to get some rain outside. Okay. Huh? Say what?
It's raining out. They got the dark clouds overhead.
Yeah. All right. Now, you asked a question yesterday about if you know, did God say about the devil, you know, selling your soul to the devil? Right? I know you said that. Okay. Now,
he must put you on mute.
Oh, okay.
He must put himself on mute. Yeah.
He may have. Okay. Well, if he goes to Matthew, Matthew, 4th chapter, and in the 8th and the 10th verse, he'll find out exactly what God said. You know, and I'm going to read it for you. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceedingly high place, mountains, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Thy saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. So, So that answers that question. That answers that question that he had asked me earlier. You know, I mean, that he asked today about, you know, God and service, selling, giving your soul to the devil. You know what I mean? And that answers that question right there. I just thought I'd gone to start it off and put it on out there.
Now, he asked you, could you repent? He asked you, could you repent out of that?
Huh?
Yeah, he asked, could you repent out of that, didn't he?
Well, I think that was one of the questions. Yeah, if you break down, yeah, you can repent out of it.
No, he asked, could you get out of it?
Yeah, same thing, Goof, same thing. But yeah, you know, God is a forgiving God. You can get out of it. But the question is, you know, are you going to be
devil? Though that's the question.
Well, you got to understand, you know, Jesus has power and dominion over all life and death, and hell. That's the purpose of him dying, to go down there and show death and hell that it had no power compared to him. So yes, if you go ahead and give yourself to the Lord, yes, that's the only way you can get out of it. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy fight, because heck no, it's not going to be an easy fight. But if you stay consistent and stay in the Word, yeah, you can get out of it with no problem. You know what I'm saying?
What about all the backslider people?
About all the who?
The backslider.
you know, the ones that give their lives to God, say they're ex-drug addicts or drunks, they give their lives to God, and then maybe a year down the road, they go back to their original ways, and then they give their lives to God again. You know what I mean? Well, they're in the area, those are called backsliders.
Yeah. You know, there's, how can I put it? There's a, I have to find it, but there's something in the Bible, and I can't remember what it was, where it is, that actually says something about committing the same thing over and over again. You know, if even though he is a forgiving God, you know, it makes no sense. If he says if he has really delivered you, as you say, then you won't have to worry about going back and doing it again. See my point? So basically, they're just fooling themselves, you know, saying that they have. But, you know, just to go up to the altar and say, Lord, I give myself to you, that's just the first step. It's more to it. Because you have to actually study the word, you know, and stay prayed up. Because as soon as you say that, man, the enemy going to cut you hard and heavy, very hard and heavy. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you.
Yeah, I got you. Don't yell at me. I'm not yelling at you.
Just like Vernon was saying yesterday, you have to deny yourself.
Right.
Whatever your sin is, whatever your passion, whatever your thing is, you have to deny yourself that because, you know, in Scripture, Paul says, I die daily for the sake of Christ. Meaning, I deny myself. I all these things that I know I wanted and I know I want to do, I don't do them because I know what they'll send me. You know, and if you just have to keep going back to these things, eventually you will be turned over to what is called a reprobate mind, and you will be turned over to whatever sin that is, whatever you love so much, even if it's something as simple as pornography. You would just be consumed with it, you know. Even something as simple as that. What's his name?
You'd be born again.
Oh, I hate those born again people.
Oof. Be born again. Become a new creature.
Huh? Look out now.
With a renewed mind.
With a renewed mind. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about. That's it. Hey,
so how can you keep living like a sinner, man? I mean, I'm not saying we weren't gonna fall short because the Bible said a just man falls 7 times.
Right.
You know, but then it just lets you know you will fall, but you can't just be willfully sinning. Let's speak about willfully sinning. But you know, you can tell like a man, tell people whatever you want, but Scripture is where is that, man? You stick to the text, and hey, we'll be okay. Don't be adding nothing to it. Don't be taking nothing away from it.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Hey, did y'all get to check out the reading I sent you? Because I know y'all sent me one. Did you go back and read what I told you going to read?
Oh yeah, Matthew 18. Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, did it kind of explain it a little bit more what that passage in Romans meant?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it, man. Like I said.
Okay. You know, I just want to make sure. Because, see, it's a little-known fact, though. Y'all check this out. Mary and Joseph, right?
Mm-hmm.
They actually work from the from David's
genealogy.
Yeah, David's genealogy. They both were. Yeah. Mary and Joseph were. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something a lot of people don't know, you know. So basically what they're saying is they kind of related some way down the line. They would end up distant cousins or something, but they were related. But, you know, it mattered because he didn't touch her until after Jesus was born. So, you know, so
I believe that. Yeah.
There's a part that's up for the debate again.
Wait a minute. Before we get started, Wait a minute, Lo. Mm-hmm. Joe, what'd you say? You believe that?
Oh, yeah, sure. I believe that. He didn't touch
him.
Immaculate conception. Absolutely.
You being sarcastic. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Lo.
I'm just saying now if the scripture says that, and me and Bernie were talking about this earlier. Now, I'm going to ask you one question. Your son, according to the flesh, is your son, right? You're not his stepfather, right?
Uh-huh.
According to the flesh, if they go and swab your mouth, they're going to get his DNA and your DNA right there together, right?
Okay. I'm listening.
So, and according to the scriptures, Christ came from the seed of David. The only way you can come out of the seed of a man is to come out of his loins.
No. And that's what we was. That's why I told you to read the other book. Because David never had any interactions with any, you know, sexual thing with Mary, because neither did Joseph, because she was a virgin at the time. The seed from David
Listen.
The seed from David meant that it came down through the genealogy. That's where
Absolutely. The
seed came from. Right, but David did not, put his seed into her. Jesus in there. What?
Because what you're doing now, you're bringing in a Babylonian virgin birth. So what I'm saying is this. I don't know who your great-great-grandfather was, but you came out of his seed because it was a son that came after him and a son that came after him. And then here you come. That's where you came from.
Okay, look. Here we go. All right, the reason why I say it came out of David's seed, because he was implanted into Mary. Now, Mary had Jesus, so he could be flesh. All right, so if you really want to look at it, the DNA he had was Mary's, and through generations, David. However, so the bottom line is Jesus was half flesh and half divine. Understand what I'm saying? Because he had to be born flesh to come down and deal with the sins on earth. However, here's the thing, though. The reason why no man could implant her seed in her and bring Jesus out, because the Lord didn't want any sin upon him until after he was born. See what I'm saying? Now, if somebody else would have laid down a
sinful flesh.
What?
The scripture says that he came through sinful flesh.
That was Mary.
Christ came through
sinful flesh. You're missing the point, Mr. Lowe. You're missing the point.
I'm listening to what you're saying, but it's getting twisted up.
Okay, wait a minute. I got you right here. Hold on. I got you, Lowe. I love you, brother. I got you.
Bring it.
But Mary came down through the lineage of David and Levi, which was kingship and priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
Which was what Jesus was.
Yeah, that's right.
But how could he have been born without any sin whatsoever if he was born through Mary?
Joseph, again, came through the king's tribes, right? Joseph came through David's tribe. Mary came through her grandfather was
Let me find my text. Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Nathan was her grandfather. Nathan.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything to do with the king's tribes.
I'm going to read it right here.
Let's not see y'all around, because I got 20 bucks here.
Uh-oh. Really? Okay, let's see.
David, I really enjoy what's your name, Miss Lady.
Oh, mm-hmm. Lord.
Oh,
really?
The thing is,
why are you enjoying Miss Lady today?
She can bring some controversy to this.
Of course, the other woman too. Again, see, what you're doing is, and I keep saying it, you're making it Babylonian. You're making it a virgin birth. Now, the virgin birth was well orchestrated prior to Christ even being born, they were celebrating a virgin birth. Right or wrong? That's why Christians now celebrate December the 25th, which is the virgin birth of Nimrod. This was being celebrated before Christ.
It's also the virgin birth of a couple of other gods, too.
You need to find scripture. You have to, but see, now you talk about other people for not supporting scripture, but you're going exactly against scripture right now because the scripture said that he had no earthly father, that he was not born. He was not born by, Joseph did not know Mary until after Christ was born. That's what the scripture says.
Right.
Now, you saying this, but you also read exactly where you saw that it said he came from the seed of David, through the seed of David. You saw that.
Yeah,
yes,
which he did.
He did. And Mary came down through the seed of David.
Right.
Mary came through
the
seed of David and Levi. Mary came down through the seed of David and of Levi. So,
yes,
I mean, go on.
Yes.
And that's scripture.
Yes, that's what we're saying.
That's scripture.
Okay. The next question then, because like I said, y'all keep making it Babylonian. That's the thing about it. It's pagan. Now, if the Most High said, hey, none of you angels are to go down and sleep with women. This was happening before Noah and before the flood. None of you are supposed to go down and sleep with those women. Now, he going to go down and make a baby himself after he told them not to.
It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible where it said he went and slept, an angel went and slept with her.
It
don't say anything in the Bible about that, Lo.
It made a baby.
The Holy Spirit made a baby.
We're talking about God. We're talking about the Most High. We're talking about the creator of this whole thing. We're talking about the one that you, that made the flood come, the one that made man, the same one that made man from clay. Now you're telling me he couldn't make that happen. That's what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, why would he say not to do it and he do it?
He didn't have to lay with no woman to make Adam, did he?
No, he didn't.
If you look at it, you know, I often get to the seed thing. Now, if you trace Davis back, David go all the way back to Abraham, and Abraham go back to Adam. And who made Adam? God. See what I'm saying? Okay. What is that? But anyway, the angels did not sleep with Mary at all. They didn't.
Okay, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if you had spirits that came down and slept with women, you had that. That's one of the reasons why the flood came about, because of the offspring that came from that. Now, with that being said,
was that the offspring from that, or was the offspring from them dating outside of their race, like they were not supposed to?
It was, like I said, it was partially because of the offspring that came from that, which is in the Apocrypha, in the Book of Enoch, talking about the Nephilim. The thing is, though, like I said, now, if those spirits came down and slept with women and made children, and their children were punished for this, why would the Most High send a spirit down to create a child in a fleshly woman? The next question is, why didn't Joseph want to marry her?
Because before Joseph knew what exactly happened, the spirit had to come down, and the word of God had to be manifested into flesh.
Thank you.
It had to be made into flesh. It had to be made where it speak and to see and to go through the same thing that we go through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
And go ahead, Laverne.
Go ahead, Eric.
What was I going to say? And that same spirit or angel spoke to Joseph in a dream to let him know exactly what was going on and what was to come, what was happening. Because, you know, at the time, you know, for some lady be pregnant,
right? For a lady to be pregnant, and
that means she's had sex,
you know,
with somebody.
And it's not be her husband, or you know,
that was a
good thing back there. Yeah,
that was
right.
a stoning offense.
Right.
Lowe brings up
right.
a good point, though. Why didn't Joseph
right.
marry her after the birth?
Why didn't? No. He married her after the birth. He didn't. Why didn't he marry her? Why didn't he want to marry her? Is the question that I keep asking.
Because at the time
why he
before
didn't want to
look. Because at
yes.
the time,
oh, okay.
before,
I don't know.
Before the angel came and talked to him, they were related, Lo. You be honest with you, they were related.
They were already, in the Hebrew custom, you already had relationships
yes,
with that.
But I'm saying,
you
I understand
that.
I understand that. And that's the point, too. However, the bottom line was, you know, he may not have felt that way about her. Put it that way.
He was already,
I mean, it doesn't say why he hadn't married her up until this point. It doesn't say that. I can't tell you something I don't see in the Bible.
Just on speculation though. Now, these are my words. Now this is nothing that came from the Bible. But you're talking about a time when this here was it ain't like now where a woman get married become pregnant out of wedlock. That it was a thing that was okay, that's okay. You know, it wasn't like that. It was a thing where you could be stoned to death. You could be put to death.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
This was a shameful thing.
Right.
So, it was before Joseph, this not like I said, this is my wording now. Before Joseph was approached by the angel, and before he came into the knowledge of what was really going on, you know, it was how else would he feel, but other than the way that everybody else would feel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And that's Matthew 1:19-20. So from reading this, it's telling me that they were married beforehand.
Imagine that.
Yeah, they were married before that.
Go over to Deuteronomy 22:13, and you will get the prerequisite to getting married, which was your token that the father of the bride to be had to give to the groom to be, which was the white sheep. And the groom had
the
father.
Yeah, I said the groom usually had to do the deity, right?
Yeah, dowry. He had to
Didn't the woman have to give a dowry?
He had to give a dowry.
He had to give
father.
A dowry? Okay.
Yeah, he did.
Right.
Now, the father had to, in turn, give the son-in-law to be a white sheep. And this was to be her token. And when they consummated, that's when they were to be married. That's when
right.
they were to be married. It wasn't
right.
a big festival or whatever. And then they go and do the consummation. The consummation came first. And
mm-hmm.
that sheet was there because the blood is going to run down on the sheet to ensure that he is marrying a woman, not a virgin, because the thing is, the word virgin and maiden, which we were talking about yesterday, and I said, look in your Strong's and you'll see. The word virgin was interjected. It's interchangeable, though, with today's lingo. But the word is actually maiden, which is a woman that is of a marriageable age. That's what was supposed to have been there, whether married or not.
All right, but if you're talking about a white sheet in order to scoop up the blood, that would have meant that she would have had to have been a virgin at the time of the marriage
right.
consummation
right.
anyway. And in order
right.
to do that, that meant that her hymen had to be penetrated by him
absolutely.
For the
absolutely.
First time.
And the thing is, the reason why they had that is because if let's say the husband didn't want to be married to her anymore, or he didn't want her, just whatever, and he comes out and he has all these things to say against her. Oh, she wasn't a virgin when we met anyway, or whatever, whatever. Now, according to the scripture, what would happen is the father and the father would take the sheet to the elders, show it to the elders, and say, hey, I don't know what this dude's problem is. All of a sudden, you know, I brought a just woman to him, and he don't want it anymore, whatever. Now, if that sheet was spotless, then he had ground to stand on, and they could take her and stone her to death. But if it had his blood on it, if it had the blood on it, then he would. Then the guy that was making these charges against the woman would be brought to the elders and chastised. He would have to pay the father, I think it's what they call 100 silver shillings, and he would have to stay with the woman anyway. But why didn't Joseph want to marry her is my question.
Well, I mean, you know, you asking something that
didn't he look, according to what you were reading, Eric,
mm-hmm.
he was
yeah.
married to her. Then he found out that the baby the baby was supposedly from God. So he was married to her to begin with. Then what I'm assuming from what I'm getting today is that
mm-hmm.
she was pregnant. He didn't
mm-hmm.
do it to her. So now he's all upset about who did this. She's saying nobody did it to me. He's not believing her. He's considering divorce. Then the angel came to him.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Okay, wait a minute.
No.
Wait a minute. Yeah, yeah. He was pledged to marry her. That's what.
But
I mean.
From what you read, I thought you read that
yeah,
he was picking
up
divorcing her.
Too.
He had to have
yeah.
married her in order to
but
divorce
still,
her.
But still, he yeah, he still thought of divorcing her though when he found out she had a child before
so
the angel came to him. He pledged. In those days, if you pledged marriage, basically, yeah, you married. He married to her.
Okay, I don't know if that's true, but all right.
Because what is conceived in, yeah, yeah. And all it took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I mean,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, the word virgin was interjected in that instead of maiden because the word maiden was there. And like I
well,
said, the word virgin was not even in the Hebrew dialogue. The thing is, they had maiden, which was synonymous with a woman that was a marriage. And, you know, girls young back then, as soon as they caught their period, they could, you know, they were considered to be women.
Uh-huh.
And so this was a woman, either married or not, that was of a marriageable age. And so, like
okay.
I said, from what I'm reading, and for me to not believe in this virgin birth thing, because I can't, because like I said, they already was playing that through somebody else, then I would have to only believe that the man did not want to marry her because he had already been dealing with her. Now, you look at it any other way. They go and they have sex, and right after they have sex, after they supposedly got married, they consummate their marriage, come out, they hold a sheet up so everybody can see, ain't nothing on there. There's a problem right there.
That's okay, that's the normal. Hey, we a lot of people dropping all of a sudden. But anyway, that is I could put it. That's the easy way out if that's the way you want to look at it. However, what I am saying is, for this particular birth, which was a very special birth, right? There was no penetration or nothing like that. It wasn't. So, and if she, look, the book says she was a virgin. Whether it was maiden or virgin, regardless, she was untouched, okay? Can we go with that, untouched?
We can go with a girl that was of a marriageable age. That's what we can go with. Because if you look in your Strong's Concordance, the word virgin is synonymous with maiden.
Right.
But
so now we're dealing with just words then.
Well, I mean, you think about it now. some of the words in the Bible were changed. You, not all, just some. Because Thanksgiving is in the Bible, I think, one time. Easter is in the Bible one time. And that word was interjected because if you go and you look at it in online, you will see that it's grayed out. And that word that where Easter is should be Passover.
Okay, all right. So now you're coming from the Apocrypha, right? Hold on.
No,
Wait a minute. Let me bring Miss Lady in. Hey, Miss Lady, how you doing today?
I'm fine, but I'm in an appointment, so I'm going to have to cut off right now. I'll call it later. Bye-bye.
All right.
Wow.
Okay.
That's something there.
Interesting, huh? She was adding up for me. But anyway.
Yes,
it comes
Michael
down to this.
Trying to fight out of the place together, huh?
Nah. He in the chat room doing his normal.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had to expect that.
Anyway, but here's the bottom line. Mary was untouched. Okay, however you want or what you ever call it, she was untouched. The Holy Spirit put Jesus inside of her. And he came to Joseph in dream to let Joseph know what was going on. Because Joseph, it was like any other man, like we said. Wait a minute. You pregnant? You what? And I ain't touched you? Oh, no, something's not right.
That's what you guys are going to give that, huh?
Yeah. And
okay.
Thank you, Cat. Cat Girl said, Luke 1:34-35 says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of backs up to where she really wasn't, she wasn't touched. She was a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Let me read then out of the King James Version. I'm going to read Romans 1-4. Paul, a servant of Jesus, and I'm going to say Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection
from
the
dead. Let me stop you right there. Now, let's go back. There was two key words there, Lo. Spirit. I mean, flesh and seed.
And spirit.
Right?
Flesh and what? Flesh
and spirit.
What?
No, flesh
right.
and seed. Right? Now,
flesh
let's take a look
spirit.
At that. When you're talking seed, Mary was in the line with David, right? So that's
a
why
woman
she.
Don't carry a seed.
Listen to what I'm saying,
Go ahead.
Which means she came from, she was in the genealogy of David. So David started all this with his seed. Now, the flesh part comes, he was inside Mary, and Mary was flesh. Understand now? So that's where all this come together. But you can't just go back there and say, well, this is said he was flesh. And no, because you have to go back and read Matthew's first. And then, get the picture of who begot who and who begot who and who begot who and so forth and so on until it gets down there. Then when you get into Romans, when you read those verses there, you have a better understanding of what they are trying to say. Basically, the only thing he's trying to say is, due to the seed of David through Mary, who was flesh, Jesus came and, to save the world from their sin. You there?
Put that together, bro. I'm here. I can't put it together. I just can't. And the reason
okay,
why
let me put it this way. Let me put it this way. Then. Okay. you big low. Say you have a little low. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, little low get married, and he has some little lows. And it goes on for, say, like in about 14 generations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, somewhere in there, it branches off to where one of the little lows, you know, their son goes on the other side and start, you know, popping them out for 14 generations. Now, somewhere in there, one of the little lows and one of the young ladies from the other side of the genealogy get married, and they drop
mm-hmm.
down to the bottom. Now, if put it this way, if she gets pregnant, right, when you trace it all the way back up, it's still going to say it started with your seed because you were the originator of all these generations.
Right. But when you branch off, when you branch off with
your line is open.
With Mary, huh? Oh, when you branch off with Mary, Mary's father, her father is somebody else. You know,
her father still came from the seed of David. The bottom line is Mary and Joseph were related somewhere in that
mm-hmm.
equation. Now, I'm not saying
mm-hmm.
exactly what, but they were related because both of them came from the seed of David.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that passage right there is saying.
Okay. And I'll have to find it. I can normally find it. I'm looking for it right now. It's a passage that said concerning I think Jesus Christ, Joseph's son. So he was referred to as Joseph's son. yeah.
Okay. If Mary was his wife, right? So on earth, yes, Joseph was his father. On earth. Okay? But Joseph knew that in reality, you know, that's what everybody else saw him as Joseph's son. However, everybody that knew the prophecy understood that he was the Messiah. He was the one that God sent down to save the earth. See,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things, and you know, one of the things we do a lot of, we play on the words, but what we have to do, go back and read the word, and then read the word some more, and then research, read the word some more, and ask for guidance and comprehension of what we're reading. I mean, just to sit down and read the book is fine, but if you're not understanding and comprehending, which I'm not saying you're not. you know, but me and you go back, so I wouldn't say that. I know your level. But, you know, and really understand, because, you know, you have one regular Holy Bible, you know, you have the Apocrypha, and then you have your Concordia or your Study Bible. So it takes all that to get a true understanding by just reading one regular King James Bible, you will not understand everything because, you know, it takes more. You have to go into the other parts of the books to find things, to understand them a little bit clearer. But that comes with prayer also. You know, that does come with prayer. You know, that's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying.
Of course. I understand everything you're saying. I do. And me and Vernon talked about this. And, you know, like I said, man, I'm not even going to say I'm stuck because the virgin birth, I mean, I say that the book says seed or sperma, which is what it is in the Strong's, and I'm told that, he came down through David, of course, the day that the promise was given to Abraham. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So after this promise, all these men come down to, and they got all these men's names here and their sons. And all of a sudden I'm seeing here Joseph and then his son, and all of a sudden Joseph's son ain't his son, according to his
Well, I mean, honestly, Jesus was no mortal man's son, period.
And that's, you know, people keep thinking that it made him special. He was special before he was even born on the earth.
Right. Because
he was coming through a virgin. That's why your Catholics hold Mary up so high, because they say that she was a virgin birth. The virgin birth is synonymous for Semiramis, which was Nimrod's mother. So, like I say, the virgin birth was already ran before he was even born. He was special even without him having to come through a virgin birth.
Okay, hold on. Let me bring Renee in. Hello, Miss Renee. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Was that something that I heard? Was that correct? I was right from yesterday about Mary being a virgin. I mean, I'm just tuning in, so...
If you was right. You know, that's what you get out of it. This one thing, but I don't know if you were right.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're trying to tell him, but he says the word would change the maiden. But I say, well, let's compromise and just say untouched. You know, but he wants maiden, which meant a woman of marrying age. That doesn't mean she had sex with anyone.
But the thing is, in the Strong's, it didn't say a woman that had not been touched. It just said a woman that was of a marriageable age.
But Luke, I mean Luke, I don't know why I'm calling you Luke. Luke 1, chapter 1, 30, verse 34 and 35 says, and Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's telling you right there, she hasn't been with a man. That's why I was asking the angel, how can I get pregnant? I haven't been with anybody. You know, so, I mean, if you want facts, that's the facts right there for you. It is written.
I do believe I said that yesterday, though, that was the case. And I was told that I didn't know what I was talking about, or why should someone talk to a woman about religion in the first place? They need to talk to my husband. You remember that?
You gonna talk to us about what we talking about now, or you gonna worry about what I said yesterday?
No. I'm agreeing with the scriptures. I'm totally agreeing with the scriptures.
Me too. And I'm agreeing with the way I interpret them. So let's you know, we beat that horse to death.
I'm just tuning in because I have to work, so.
Oh, okay. Me too.
We understand.
I'm going to tell you, like I told Michael, you know, just because you've been listening in and you couldn't say anything doesn't mean that the show has to back up for you.
Oh, I understand. I completely understand.
Right.
Don't insult me now. I understand.
Right. Now,
wow.
We were also talking about, and, you know, like I said, I read my Apocrypha a lot, too. And we were also talking about the laws, right?
Okay. Yes,
the laws. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Now, we all understand, if we read our Bible correctly, we do understand. Well, first question I have to ask: what God do you serve, Mr. Jackson?
What God
do
I
serve? The God? Yes, because we established yesterday that there are many. Do you serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? There are many gods. Do you serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is what the Bible says? Let's finish this.
Okay, go ahead.
That's what the Bible says.
Right.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you serve that God?
Okay. Yeah, that's the one and only God, but go ahead. I'll get to your point.
There you go. That's all I wanted to know first, because... these words in this Apocrypha are also is, and according to his words here in, this is the book of Baruch, this is
the book. Give me a page number.
The book, okay, 338 in the Apocrypha, chapter 37, 4.
338.
I'm sorry, chapter 4.
Wait a minute. Okay. The book of who?
Baruch. Baruch.
Okay, and the Episcopal of Jeremiah?
Hmm?
And the Episcopal Jeremiah? I got it.
Yeah, you...
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Okay, and what chapter?
Okay, it's chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see they're talking about wisdom right before that. And wisdom is referred to as a female. Now,
business. Okay,
see,
go ahead.
Okay, you see 37?
Yeah.
And it says, after that she appeared on the earth. You see that right there? And mingled with men.
Okay, I must be reading the wrong thing. Because what I got to say, 37, say, lo, thy sons come, whom thou sentest away. Thy come gathered together from the east to the west by the word of the Holy One, rejoicing to the glory of God. So we must have a different version here. Yeah.
But you're looking in your Apocrypha in the book of Baruch.
Yeah.
Okay.
B-R-U-C-H.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean,
that's four and one.
Mm-hmm.
You got chapter 4 and verse 1?
Wait a minute. I just had chapter 4 and verse 1. Well, you get your point, man.
Okay. But you said you wanted to read alone. Now, I'm going to
read
this verbatim.
Okay.
Okay.
Chapter 4
now,
and 1. Okay.
This is the book of the commandments of God and the law that will endure forever. All those who hold fast to it will live, but those who forsake it will die.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that alone, we understand that the law says specifically right there, will endure forever.
Okay, yeah.
Now, if that's the case, and we were talking about remembering Sabbath and keeping it holy, then with that alone, there is no deviation from that, because I can take you to the New Testament if you would like.
No, I agree. I know what it says.
Okay.
I exactly know what it says. However, there's an instance to where you cannot, you just can't. Yeah. I understand the law. And yes, the law will stand forever because it is the law. Yeah, I mean, that's no doubt about that. But, you know, there are things that you just cannot, you know, you want to do it. However, it's tradition and it's the time that you make available now. You know, like we said yesterday, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but also it does say, you know, everybody's not perfect. So in order to be perfect, that means you have to do everything exactly right.
Well,
and we know that's
not
possible.
Perfection, brother.
It is asking you, and you just said it, keep the Sabbath, right? We already know the Sabbath was supposed to be on Saturday. Well, in today's world and today's society, it's hard because many people work on Saturday.
That's understandable. Now, see, the thing with that is, and you have to understand that just because you have a holy convocation or a holy get-together, that don't mean you have to have the preacher in the big church, so just like you said. Now, where two or three are, I am in the midst.
Right. Right.
Now, let's say we had... Exactly. Now, let's just say we was in the motor pool, we had to work, and it was Saturday. Now, all we would have to do, go off by ourselves for 5-10 minutes and get us some good praising in, and we have honored the Sabbath. The Lord knows that you have work. He knows this.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not say, hey, well, you know, the times and the tradition, that word there, traditions. Now, as far as that goes, you know, you go with your Jeremiah 10:6 on your traditions. You know, Mm-hmm. Learn not the way of the heathens. The heathens was always worshiping on Sunday. And that's a that's a heathen's tradition.
Well, no, the heathens never really worshipped. They weren't worshipers. That's
really?
Why they were heathens. No.
Okay,
they worshipped idols and pagan gods. They did not worship the Lord
that's worshiping.
And Savior. But
that
they,
they worship their God.
But they idols and pagan gods are different
exactly.
from the one true God. It's not the same thing.
I established that from the very beginning. If you're just trying to find something to say, then come at me with something better. And I already established.
I'm not
that.
Just trying to find
There's
something to say.
Difference.
I'm just going on what you're saying right now.
Okay, fine. I tell you what. Let's just read. Let's just read 10:6, Jeremiah. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. Learn not the way of the heathen. That's cut and dry. And I can go farther on down and talk to you about your Christmas tree that you keep every year. That's the way of the heathen. Is that a tradition of the heathen? Yes, it is. They did that in honor of Tammuz. But people will say, oh, we do that to remember Christ. The Bible has nothing in it about Christmas, Easter.
Okay.
Easter is in there one time. But like I said, when you go and you find it in text online, it's grayed out because the word Passover was there. And even in your New Testament, they were keeping the laws after Christ had been crucified. And I can give you that courtesy of... here it is. Acts 13.
Okay, maybe I'm missing. Maybe I just missed your point of
14
this,
and 15.
The whole thing that you're saying.
My point is this: if the laws say don't do something, and you go and switch it around and say, "Oh well, you know," and this is what I've heard from most people: "Oh well, you know, we do that for the kids. It's for the kids. Christmas we do Easter for the kids." Well,
okay.
What do you do Halloween for? And even if you don't do Halloween to have your children grow out somewhere and you have something at church, why do you reference it whatsoever?
Well, personally, I don't celebrate the holiday Halloween. I don't. My family has never. That's just our choice. We have not. We celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate necessarily Easter as you would say with all the hoopla of Easter, but we do celebrate the resurrection and the death of Jesus Christ. That we do.
Nowhere in the Bible.
But it is that he died and he rose again. There's nowhere in the Bible
that
that happened.
There's nowhere in the Bible that it's celebrated.
It is. It was celebrated. It was a wonderful, joyous occasion when the disciples heard that their leader was alive. They were astonished, and when they found out, they did have a great meal for him.
Really?
They did. Yes, they
did. It wasn't on Sunday.
It wasn't a specific day, just like Christmas was not a specific day. You are right.
The thing is, they celebrate that Easter on a specific Sunday every year in reference to the spring solstice.
Okay, so you're saying that we shouldn't celebrate those holidays at all? We should not celebrate the resurrection?
I'm saying that the holidays that should be celebrated is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, Feast of Tabernacles. Any holy day that's in the Bible should be celebrated. No holiday. They had holidays.
Well, I celebrated.
Pagans celebrated holidays.
I can't call for other people, but I do fast those days. I take a fast instead. So I'm still understanding the importance of the holiday, and I'm still understanding the importance of the time, and I'm still understanding, and I'm relishing in the fact that I don't live in the times where we have you ever had unleavened bread? It's not good. we don't live in those times where those things are readily available. You can't run to the grocery store and pick up.
You can go to the store and buy flat unleavened bread. It's just bread without yeast.
If you have ever eaten in the way of the Bible, then you know as well as I know that it's not a thing of great thing. It's a sacrifice you make. It's a definite sacrifice.
Absolutely.
So if you make the sacrifice, and that's what it is a sacrifice, then you are still celebrating in your own way the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They also
if you celebrate
wine
Easter,
everywhere.
You celebrate
you can't give children wine today. So you telling me
if you celebrate
you can't give
Easter,
wine?
You celebrate Esther, regardless
if
of
you
who
you
want to put in
there. If you celebrate what?
If you are celebrating Easter, you're celebrating Esther. You're not celebrating Christ. I mean, regardless of whose name they stuck on it, the pagans did that. And you can go back and read these things in history. I can show it to you in history, but because it's been a tradition that's been ingrained in your head, you're going to keep doing it. And you're going to keep putting Christ's name on it. Even though it's nowhere in the Bible, you'll keep putting his brand on it.
So you're telling me there's nowhere in the Bible that Christ died and rose again?
Did I say that?
No, I'm trying to understand. I'm just trying to understand. I'm just trying to say
what
because
I'm
that's
saying,
the day
what
that
I'm
we choose to celebrate it. Is that a wrong choice? Because we choose to celebrate it on that time because there's no time in the Bible that it says that it was done. So are we also choosing to because Christ was born and we chose a one day, we don't know when Christ was born because there's no calendar date in the Bible for that. So we chose to celebrate that.
Who is we? Wait, before you keep saying we, who is
we? I'm saying we because that's what the world is doing. And there
the
are
world
people
is
that do not
doing
believe that.
Because
there are,
the world
there
is
are
doing
people
that.
In the world that. Are you going to keep cutting
the world?
Me?
Go ahead.
There are people that don't do that. There are lots of people that don't do that. But the majority of the world does do that. So are we saying we don't know when Christ was born? We have no idea because that was lost in translation or it was never put in or we don't know the exact time. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't tell you. But we chose to celebrate the day on a certain time of the year. So we shouldn't celebrate the birth of Christ? That wasn't a joyous occasion? It wasn't?
Was it celebrated on December the 25th? No.
What I'm saying is, we don't know when it was celebrated. We don't know when.
So why not celebrate
no
that
time.
Daily?
So we
why
celebrate
why,
it at all?
Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
Why not celebrate that daily if you're going to do it? Why set aside a specific day that you know? Well, I don't know if you know, but I know who was born on December the 25th. I know who was celebrated prior to Christ being born and prior to the pagan Roman Catholics bringing all this paganism into pure Christianity, not the brand that we have now, the pure form. When they brought all of that in, they brought it in. They brought all of that Sunday worship, Easter, December the 25th. They brought all that in with them. Those people those Israelites were not celebrating those days. They were celebrating the feast days according to their traditions, the Hebrew traditions.
I understand what
and
you're
so,
saying, but does that
so
mean
tell
that
me, they, you'll tell me that I know that December the 25th, that's the birth date of Tammuz, which
that's
was
not what I'm saying.
A Nimrod. I would celebrate
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we don't know the date. We don't know the date that Jesus Christ was born. We do not know the exact date. None of us were there to witness it. So we don't have an idea of when the date that Jesus Christ was born. We have no idea. Just
so is it important?
Go ahead.
I'm asking, is it important?
It is an important day. Why wouldn't that be an important day?
Is Christmas
when
in the Bible?
When the Messiah was born. Why wouldn't that be an important day?
I'm asking, I mean, if it was such an important day, it would have been referenced in the Bible. It was never
referenced.
There's
lots of things that are referenced in the Bible that we don't have a date for. We don't have a date for them.
We have a date
we
for
we have in the beginning.
All
God
of our holy days,
the earth,
all of the holy days in the Bible
for
have a date for them. All the holy days in the Bible have dates for them.
The earth started on what day then? What day does the earth start? That's an important date.
What day is what? I didn't hear you.
What day was earth started? That is an important date. That's not an important date. That's an important date that the universe was begun.
What day was
that? We don't have a date. But one thing is, there's lots of dates that we don't have an exact date. We do know that Christ was born. That is a fact.
I'm telling you that in the scripture, the holy days, according to the Bible that you're supposed to keep, they're in the Bible. You would just have to reference them.
They do not have a date.
To speak them.
There is no date in there.
Actually, there is a date. Actually, there are
dates.
You would have
there
to count
them. There is
no
date. I was born on the 21st of April. That is the date of my birth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is a date. Okay? We don't have any specific dates of anything because they didn't keep the calendar years like we keep calendar years.
Absolutely.
Time
and so that is
time.
Why you would have to go back.
I'm not walking around with a sundial
research.
On my wrist right now.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And that's the reason why you would have to go back and do your own research to find out when these days are. Because 14 days from the new year is the Passover, and the 15th day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's and all you have to do is go back and count these days and find out exactly when they happen.
But
like
you
I
cannot
said,
do that because our date and our calendar dates are totally different the way that they were done in AD and BC. They're totally different.
You know,
that date would be inaccurate.
If you want to go by and just keep to your pagan holidays, you keep those. That's fine. I hope you enjoy them, and that's all they are, regardless to what you want to brand
so
it. Oh, it's Christmas.
Oh,
it's Easter.
So you're telling me. So this is what you're saying. Maybe I don't want to misunderstand what you're saying.
I just said it. You're not stupid. I just said what I'm saying. Enjoy your pagan holidays,
I'm
enjoy
not stupid.
Them.
But you're saying that my holidays are no better than your holididays. Because you cannot accurately, my holidays are no better than your holidays. Because you cannot
that's a
accurately.
Lie, because the holidays that
I'm
I reference
lying.
From the Bible, yes, you are.
You cannot accurately.
Okay, if today I say, okay, well,
accurately.
This is the Passover.
Because the calendar
and I celebrate
itself,
the Passover.
The
I'm celebrating the Passover of the Scripture. If I say
calendar.
Today is the Passover. Regardless, let's put the calendar to the side. If I say today is the Passover.
You can't according to what you're saying.
If I say that today is the Passover and I celebrate the Passover, I'm not celebrating Christmas. I'm not celebrating Easter. I'm not celebrating the 4th of July. This is something that's referenced in the Bible.
Okay.
That's what I'm celebrating.
But if
now,
you,
this other
if you
stuff,
step-
that, this other stuff, this is just some stuff in your way that you don't need. But if you got to have it because you're used to doing it, then, hey, that's your business. Enjoy it. Hello?
Hello, sir.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Even something as simple as your dietary laws. Grace going to save you from eating the abominable foods that you eat? Hello?
I'm just asking because you keep interrupting. So, you know, I do eat things that I probably shouldn't eat, like everyone in the world, because we don't make gardens in our yard the way we used to. We don't have livestock in our garages, and we don't cut up our own cows and fry them up on the griddle. We just don't. Our society is not like that. We've evolved. We've evolved.
It doesn't have to be.
And that's,
what do you mean?
We've evolved. There's lots of things that they wanted us to do in the Bible that we can no longer do because we just don't supply and demand those things for our families anymore. You know,
well,
a
what
lot
about,
of times.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
A lot of times it would be so much easier because we lived in communities, small communities, where everybody helped out everyone else. In today's society, it's every man for himself. You very rarely find a situation where you have a whole neighborhood that gets together and they share what they have with each other. If you don't have any milk in your refrigerator, I can't run out to the backyard and milk the cow. I never not have the time, nor do I want to do that. So we have to realize that life evolves, people evolve, and the world has evolved. So
and the words stay the same.
And that some of the things that are in the Bible today are obsolete with the things that we deal with on a daily basis.
I guess
not
that,
to say
that, would
that
be
we
that
can't still
virgin
live
birth.
To the no, there was a virgin birth. I don't know where you didn't find that. But
I don't believe
it.
That. Well, yeah, I don't believe that.
Well,
now,
that's
okay,
choice.
Let's
believe
be more
that. Like you're telling me I want to live my pagan holidays. It is as well as a choice
it's
to not
truth.
Believe that
it's,
that Mary was a virgin. That's totally up
true.
To you. It is. It's totally up to you. So we each have, that's why this is a free society. That's why we can make choices
so
on how we want to treat
you
and live our lives. And
you said
you
choices to make.
Interrupting me? I didn't interrupt
because
you.
Because you're going on and on and on. You're bouncing all over the place.
No, will you let her finish?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So now
go
we
ahead,
must understand that we have to go to the grocery store to get our meals and our food and provide for, because women are not really home all day long to make sure that they can cook the food and eat the way that we once used to. So our society has evolved from the beginning to where we are today. So as we get knowledge and as we grow and as we mature in the Word, then we learn that some of the things in the Bible are taken out of context. I will agree with that. And some of the things that are in the Bible are scripture and true by God's Word. That's why when you're reading the Bible, you must see what's in red and you must see what's in black. And realize that this was written by people in black.
We're talking about, dietary. We ain't going all into that.
It's also into dietary. It's all written in scripture. There are people today that only live their lives according to what's written in red. They only wear dresses. They only eat food that they've grown themselves. There are whole families. They be fruitful and they multiply. They have many children, and those children go on to have many more children. So, I mean, we understand that in society, yes, we're supposed to go out there and have many children, but I can't raise 7 kids on my own. I can't do it. I can't do 8 or 10 or 12 kids. So we're looking at, you're looking at the Bible as being directly, and we've got to live this way. It's so rigid and it's so strict. But God has left it open for us to grow along with the world, because we're going to grow.
Okay. Now we're growing along with the world, and the people have evolved, and some of the stuff in the Bible is obsolete. Okay, just one quick thing, because you know, you went into that whole synopsis. You said you don't grow your own foods and this and that. Do you eat seafood?
Do I what?
Do you eat like lobster and shrimp and crab and all that stuff?
No, I do not.
Catfish?
No, I do not.
Pig?
No, I do not.
Okay. Rabbit?
No, definitely not.
Okay. Well, those are just a few of the things that I know people can't do without. And
that's
there are just a few. There are just a few more. And my thing is this: you will have someone throw grace out there. Oh, you know, I can eat this pork. I'm saved under grace. That's a lie.
Well, I don't eat those things mostly for health reasons.
And
that's why you were not supposed
to eat those things, because they're here to clean the earth. All those things.
Yes, they were. Yes,
and
they were.
You have, and that's why I'm.
But they still good.
For,
I don't care. They still good.
Here they go. I don't.
But that does not mean that I still eat turkey.
Well,
I eat turkey.
That's fine. That's fine. There are specific animals that you are not supposed to eat. That's the point.
I agree.
The ones that you are not supposed to eat are the ones, for my own example, my own daddy told me, well, I guess eating a little pork don't send me to hell. I guess I'm going to go. That's crazy. You might as well not even go to church, because these people think that they're being, quote-unquote, under grace means that they can do what they want to do, which is totally ridiculous.
No.
But wait a minute. The way you make it sound is if you disobeying this, you're going straight to hell. Now, we already know that our God is a forgiving God. Yes, it's some things that we're not going to be able to do? I mean, you keep putting it out there like, if you don't live by the law, you're just going straight to hell, and it is not the case.
Well, if you willfully break the law, what are you going to do?
Well,
ignorance is one thing, person.
Say
ignorance
what?
Is one thing. Ignorance is one thing. But
no, we live
willfully
by grace.
Doing something?
We live by
grace. Yesterday we defined grace as being the fact that the ultimate sacrifice came that we wouldn't have to be stoned to death before we could be forgiven for something.
Yes.
We established that yesterday. So that is the grace portion of the whole thing. It doesn't mean you can just go out and live how you want to. This is the mind state that people have now.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you.
We were speaking earlier. And,
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Okay. Mr. Talk was saying that you have now in this church, they decided that they're going to allow gay pastors and priestesses or whatever. Now, they feel that because the world has evolved that they are entitled to do these things and they'll still be saved under grace.
Okay.
That's ridiculous. Now, if the Most High says that something is an abomination to you, what does that say?
But I have one thing to say to you. It's not left up to you to judge those people.
It's not left up for us to do judgment
because, you know, my pastor says.
Yeah, don't come with that out of my pastor say. We're talking about you and us. I agree with him.
I agree with him. You can hate the sin, but you still must love the sinner because God is love. So
if God is love, you don't agree with the sin,
I cannot change anyone's mind on what they're feeling or what they're thinking. I cannot do that.
Now,
what scripture?
Let me ask you this question, Lo. I'm going to ask you this one question.
Ask me.
Are you sin free?
No.
Okay, then.
I'm not saying that I am.
All right.
I'm not.
But I just wanted to get that clarified.
No. It's a daily fight. It is.
It's a daily grind, right? It's a daily grind every day.
It absolutely is. Well, I'll ask you a question, but I didn't receive an answer. What does in the scripture? What does it say for something to be an abomination to you mean?
Oh, that says homosexuality.
But that's pork also.
But that's also lying. That's also adultery. There's lots of sins that people commit every single day.
No. We're not talking about just sins. We are saying when the Most High says this will be an abomination to you. Okay, you lie. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't lay down with another man because that's an abomination to you. Don't eat pork because that's an abomination to you. There's a difference there. Because if there wasn't, that word wouldn't have been put on the backside of that. And show me any scripture that says, God loved the sinner to hate the sin.
God is love. God hates hate.
See, the scripture also says God loves who keep his commandments.
He does. But we
God
all have fallen short of the glory of God, all of us.
Right.
There's not a perfect person here. So you're,
does God hate?
The matter is that you just said that you weren't perfect. You weren't perfect. I know I'm not perfect.
Right. Now, does the Most High hate?
I don't believe so. I don't believe that hate, because if that was hate, then the archangel turned against him. That would be one that he would hate.
He hated Esau.
But he doesn't hate.
He hated Esau in the womb.
No, he never hated Esau.
Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. That's scripture.
Mm. No, really?
Absolutely.
No.
Jacob have I loved, Esau have I...
Don't misinterpret it.
Uh-oh.
Which happens a lot. Do not misinterpret
Here we go with the misinterpretation.
No. What you said before. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What was stated right then when I said this? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, period. It wasn't no misinterpretation there. I didn't add anything. I didn't take anything away from it.
But you didn't finish the scripture.
What's that?
Because people would question whether or not did God hate Job. People would question that. He lost everything.
No. Job, where are you getting Job from?
Well, I'm just saying all that Job went through, people would question whether or not God hated
Job.
No, they wouldn't question because
he already knew that Job was faithful to him.
And you don't think that Esau was faithful?
Okay, and if what was the reason that he hated him?
Because
I had never heard of that one.
I have never heard that God hated Esau. I've read the Bible. I have read the Bible through several times, and I've never heard in the Bible not that God hated any one person. Because if that was the case, like I said, he would have hated the archangel more than anyone for turning against him. So if that be the case, then God would hate a lot of things that goes on today, okay? God would commit that ultimate destruction like he once did before if he hated what was going on, but thereby we live by grace alone. So living by grace helps us as human beings. It helps us. It's for our benefit. So when he
took
the Messiah down.
Uh-oh. Well, we lost him. He dropped his call drop. He's not going to be able to call back in because we over time.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you ain't sorry. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Hey, we on the same time. We trying to wake him up a little bit.
I mean, going back and forth about that is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Well, Lo is a very intelligent guy. And, you know, it comes down to interpretation. Now, if we just take the interpretation out and just do what the Bible says and read through it and then research and read some more, I think we have more clarity. Plus, you have to pray for clarity also. But So if you just reading it, you know, and reading it, and then you just interpreting it the way you. And I think Vernon said that too. A lot of it is the way we interpret things.
Yeah.
You know, and some individuals feel that you know it's just going to be this way. It has to be this way, and that's it.
Well, now Eric, it was a scripture that it said that I can't remember what book it was in, but it just caused that. Now I didn't never say why, but it did say Esau, I have hated, and I think Jacob I have loved. It was I can't remember what book it was in, but it did say that.
Okay, well
you can easily misinterpret a lot of things that are in the Bible because they're not written in order.
And I think what he actually meant when he was talking about that, and this is my personal accusation on it. It was because at the time, you know, with Jacob, he had Israel was his chosen people. I think that was the reason that was said.
Yeah.
Now that like I said, that's my personal thought on it. I can't exactly say what it is that God was saying there because. I do it as also a text to say your thoughts are not my thoughts nor your ways my ways.
Right.
So you know I can't exactly quote anything. I sure hate I was busy today and didn't really get a chance to get in on this, but I got my look, man, and he kind of loud, so that kind of messed me up on a whole lot of talking on this. But Renee, that scripture that I told you about yesterday about. But Jesus told the disciples to deny themselves, to not deny yourself. Now that is in the Bible. I'm not telling you that just to try to prove a point to you or nothing. But you know, in serving God, and you know, that's something. What is that noise?
That's me.
That's me. Go ahead.
Renee, would you mute him? But, there's so many things in serving God. Now, like I said, this is my personal opinion now, when he said that, you know, that when we decide we're going to walk with God, we're going to try to live a Christ-like life. I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect. Now, I'm not saying that. But to strive to be do the will of God and to be as much like Christ as we possibly can, it's going to be a lot of things that we're going to have to deny. You know, our attitudes, our personal opinions on certain groups of people. Because forgiveness, that, now remember now, this is my own personal opinion. I'm not quoting any scripture right now. In forgiving, the only way that you can truly forgive is you have to deny a lot of your own thoughts. Because, you know, as people, the first thing that we think when somebody do us bad is to have some kind of revenge on them. You know, and, you know, so I think that's a lot of what he was talking about when he said deny yourself, because if you don't deny yourself, there's no way you can truly follow God. You know, if you don't deny what the things that you want of this world, like money and power and fancy homes, and these things become the most important. That, you know, as the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness and all the other things be added unto you. The only way that you're going to seek God first is you got to put yourself aside. Because a lot of things that he desires and a lot of the ways that he wants to handle things are things that we just almost refuse to go along with.
I realize that's your personal opinion.
Yeah, that's my personal opinion.
But I look at it from a different perspective. And the perspective that I look at it from this is my personal opinion. That God truly loves us and that he wants to bless us with our heart's desire. So there's nothing wrong with receiving those things of money and houses, and it's, as long as you use them in a way that's going to honor and bless him. We aren't denied anything when you become a Christian. We aren't denied anything. We are given blessings that make our lives fuller.
I didn't say
that
you couldn't have those things.
We are given blessings. From our wives and our husbands to our children, we are given blessings for the things that we have. And our first priority is always to give back to God first. Because once you give back to him first, then he will give you your blessings and your heart's desire. And they come without question. They come without you realizing it by that simple thing, because you put him first. So don't ever think that you aren't being blessed by the Lord because you are feeling like you're being denied. Because once you become a child of God and you believe that he is your sovereign God, those things are easily done because he works through other people to get to you so that you will be blessed abundantly. So I don't look at it as sacrificing anything. I don't sacrifice anything because I receive all the things that I have because of him. So I think when you look at it from a different perspective and you realize and you recognize that God wants to give you wonders of the world and all that he has, and it's just
now,
ma'am, opening up.
I didn't say God didn't want us to have anything.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is we can't put those things first.
We can't.
We can't put those things first.
But if you put him first, those things come.
Oh, they will come, but then it won't even really matter to you, because as long as you got God in your life, that's all that you truly need.
That's true.
Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son, his only child, just to do the will of God. And you know, as much as the scripture specifically kind of lets you feel the importance of that child, that heir. How important that was to Abraham at that time.
Yeah.
That was more important than anything to him.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, besides God, because he was willing to lay that down for God.
I wouldn't say besides God. I would say that that was the most important thing in his life at that time.
Yeah, that was the most important thing in his life.
But
other
God
than means, other than God himself. As long as he had God, he was fine.
Right. But he never wavered in what he was going to do. He never questioned God. He didn't like it, but he never questioned it. And he was obedient to the Lord. So when he was obedient, God said, hey, I realize all that you would be giving up. I realize what you have. I realize how important this is to you. So I will give you a ram. I will give you a lamb. I will give you a sacrifice to give to me instead. And he provided that for him. Did he or did he not?
Say what now?
He provided the sacrifice for him instead of.
Oh yeah, he provided the sacrifice for him, the ram and the bush.
Right. So so like that goes back to what I was saying. God loves us, so he will bless us with all of our needs. All of our needs will be met through him. So I'm not worried about those things that I can't change, and I'm not worried about those things that I can't fix, and I'm not worried about those people that I can't make realize what they're doing. And I don't worry about whether or not, you know, I'm going to have money to pay these bills. I don't worry about those things because God provides me with all of my needs. He makes himself available for me because I give back all that I have. And that's all that he's asking for you. Yours before it's anything else.
But you ever thought about that, though? Now, I know at some point in your life that you did worry about that kind of stuff at some point, because I did at some point.
I'm going to be honest, it's been so long, I cannot remember, because I was raised in church. So.
I'm talking about at some point in your life, you was wondering, it's been some hard times in your life. Well, I'm pretty sure you had some hard times where you worried about a bill or something. But
I can honestly tell you, in my lifetime, since I was raised in the Word, I was raised in the church, I don't worry about those things. I saw my mom not worry about those things. I saw my father not worry about those things. I am not the normal person, though. A lot of people weren't raised in the church. A lot of people didn't live their life according to the church, and, a lot of people didn't. I'm not like the average person. I'm not like the average black woman. You know, average black woman takes control of mostly everything on her own, and she doesn't feel that she needs another person. I'm not like that. I put my stock in God. I put my stock in my family. I put my stock in my church. Not everybody feels that way, though. And I can respect that.
I'm going to leave that alone. I mean, you said it, that's it. I'm done with it, actually. I can't say nothing about that. that's a perfectly stress-free life when you don't, you have
it's
never,
not
ever, when
it's
you have never, ever, when you have, if you have never ever worried about anything, that is stress free.
I wish it was stress free, but I put my stock in God. I just put my stock in God.
But how could you say you wish it was stress free and you said you don't worry about anything?
No, I didn't say I didn't worry about anything. I said I don't worry about bills. I worry about are my children going to grow up, so I pray for them. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray for my great-grandchildren and so on. I worry about, you know, are they going to get to college? Are they not going to get to college? I mean, there's lots of things that I still do worry about because I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I have a family. I worry about the storms here in Texas. You know, are we going to get hit by a storm? You know, realizing that God's in control, but you still want to take precautions just in case. I mean, you worry about things. You don't live a stress-free life. No one lives a stress-free life.
I think you should have worded that a different way, just in case.
Oh, you have little faith.
Come on.
Okay, all right.
So if your child, one of your children comes to you right now and says, Mom, one that's probably 16 or 17 years old, and said, Mom, I don't, you know, college is not anything that I'm really interested in. I just want to serve God and do the will and grace of God. I want to do the will of God, should I say. Would you have a problem with that?